Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Julia.
We're on day four. Guys, we're doing it. We've made it through most of Seville and most of the lovemaking. This is finally the end of it. We're blissfully almost done, just like Ethan. This minute begins with a little fire in the bedroom and ends with a large fire outside.
Lots of fire in this minute.
Lots of fire.
That's a fire.
That's a fire.
And right at the top of the minute, Naya asks a very important question that I'm sure we're all asking ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
She says, what am I doing here?
That's how we all feel. Yep. Most on this podcast, watching this minute, being in this movie, everything. It's all, what am I doing? What's happening here? How are we furthering the plot?
I can understand from her point of view. I mean, she got horny. She got into bed with Tom Cruise. It happened to Nicole Kidman. It happened to Katie Holmes. It's not an isolated incident.
Nope. It requires contracts and negotiations and, you know, non-disclosure. You know, it's all those things. You know, it's real quick and easy.
Just like their lovemaking.
Exactly.
Ethan mounts Naya and says she's beautiful. That's a note I have that I wrote. It's in black and white right here.
That's the pickup line right there. You know, you're beautiful.
That's not the worst part. He says, damn, you're beautiful. And I'm like, come on. That line is awful.
Oh, who's that singer who did Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover? Sophie B. Hawkins.
I think it's Sophie B. Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I wish this line was written better.
Sophie B. Hawkins Day.
Would you like to know what originally was said after Damn, You're Beautiful?
No. Yeah,
sure. Because what's said right now is nothing. It's demurring and then kissing. What is said originally in the script is, damn, you're beautiful. And she says, that's because I'm on my back.
Oh!
Are you kidding
good
me?
Lord.
No, ma'am.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And wait, there's notes. Quick as a cat, Ethan flips Naya over so she's looking down at him. And he says, I don't think so.
Oh. Makes me glad that we've gone from Robert Towne to Chris McQuarrie over the years.
So imagine that was the scene. So again, she was going to be on top. Like they were going, like that was a joke. Like she was going to be on top again because it's the third time she's been on top.
That reminds me from a bit from The Golden Girls.
Yeah,
Blanche.
You know what? Me too.
Blanche is talking about being in bed with someone and the pros and cons of being on top versus being on bottom. She said being on bottom is good because all of your face falls to the back and it makes you look younger. But it also flattens out your boobs. Being on top is good because it makes your boobs look huge, but it also makes your face look old because all your face is falling forward, making you look like an old hag.
I love that you've, Julia, I love that you've taken the awkwardness of this sex scene, and now I'm thinking of Rue McClanahan getting pounded, and that is actually more disturbing right now.
Oh, it's
well, that's
funny.
That's what that show was all about.
Oh,
yeah,
it was.
She, yeah, oh, yeah.
Rose, not Rose. Sex life.
Blanche horny was. Yeah, Blanche was horny old lady.
That's like the one demographic that America was okay with being promiscuous.
Now that I am 36 years old, I think back to Golden Girls, and I don't see Blanche as like an old woman anymore. She's an older lady.
Yeah, they were in their 50s. It's not like they were like old.
Yeah.
Except Estelle Getty. She was like my age.
Was a 55 and up community, right?
Yeah.
That's why Estelle Getty's still alive, or is she?
No, Estelle Getty's not. No.
I think they're all.
All but Betty White are
gone. All but Betty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's because Betty killed them all and then stole their power like a Highlander.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I believe you.
Yep. There can be only one.
It's funny that you should think of Golden Girls because the reference that I thought of when Tandy Newton was lying there looking up at Tom Cruise was actually The Lion King. There's that one part, that one Pinge shot
again.
During Can You Feel the Love Tonight where Nala like does this sort of like head tilt looking up at Simba.
Yep. And bedroom eyes.
Yeah.
And it's appropriate because Jonathan keeps calling her Nyla, Naya. Instead of Naya, he keeps calling her Nala.
It's Naya. Her name's Naya.
Yeah, but you called her Nala earlier in like the other minutes. You know, Nala. In the first couple minutes.
I'm convinced that shot alone spawned so many furries.
Yep. Well, that's exactly where they got this shot from. So it's just John Woo, right?
Guys, this is how Gritty was born. Gritty was conceived in this moment.
Gritty is the illegitimate child of Thandi and a robot Thandi and Ethanon.
A robot and a man made this beautiful baby. This beautiful orange furry baby.
So Naya says, I thought I was supposed to be some kind of thief to catch a thief. And thief to catch a thief sounds good. But I would prefer to see Predator to catch a Predator, where they replace Chris Hansen with one of the aliens from the Predator movies. Like some creepy guy shows up to a house with a 4-pack of Seagram's ice wine coolers. I don't know. I don't buy them.
Looking at Julia, Rick, I've seen what you drink. You're the one that drinks Seagram's golden wine coolers. I know you.
But then, you know, the creepy guy walks into the kitchen and then suddenly the three dots appear on his head.
Oh, all you hear in the corner is over here.
And then the predator, the laugh, Billy's laugh. Exactly.
Of course, saying to catch a thief reminds me of the 1955 Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Intentionally so, because that's what they're going for here. Very Hitchcockian.
We could just watch that instead.
But the fact that John Woo throws that name around more times in the first 20 minutes of the commentary is just crazy.
Alfred Hitchcock?
No. To Catch a Thief. He's always mentioned To Catch a Thief in that commentary track.
Yeah, I was about to say, he shouldn't be mentioning Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, he does mention Alfred Hitchcock a lot, too. Yeah.
Because it was De Palma that was all about Hitchcock. Yeah. So.
But what's funny is
Alfred Hitchcock movies just like to put his stuff all up in my pictures.
Hey, John. Thanks for coming.
But this one is very much a Hitchcock film, and more so than even the De Palma film, which is kind of crazy.
You think this is more Hitchcock?
That's what they're going for. They're obviously going for Hitchcock Notorious on this one, which is exactly what they're doing. I mean, that's literally the plot is Notorious.
It is the plot, but it's not the style.
No, not the style. De Palma's always more stylistically
My favorite part of Notorious is when he kicks in the sand and his gun comes up into his hand. And when they ride motorcycles in slow motion. Yeah,
you remember the matter Claude Rains and Cary Grant? That's the alternate ending for Notorious.
Yeah, that's the part no one saw.
There's a lot of hair in this bed scene. I mean, between Tom's hair falling down on him and her hair being, you know, all over the pillow, it's just...
Well, he's pulling a Blanche DuBois. Exactly. If you're on top, you got to have his hair's falling down. Exactly. Luckily, he has very tight skin, yes. So he's not worried about looking like a melted wax candle on top of her.
One hair-related thing that I really appreciate seeing is the fact that Naya has to sweep the hair out of her mouth.
Ugh.
That is the most realistic part of this whole scene.
Is it her? Yeah, it's just like...
It's like, no, don't kiss me with my hair in my mouth. Nope.
Yeah, that for all of us watching, we're all like, that's how sex is supposed to be.
Gosh, with her long hair and his long hair, I'm almost surprised there's not like a tangling situation where he's like trying to sit up in bed and his locks have like intertwined with hers. And he's like,
they start doing that Avatar thing where they put their ponytails together.
Yeah.
That's how he has sex. Yeah.
That's exactly
his genitalia is in his hair.
Yeah, when you get that high up in your levels, you can just start doing that.
Yep.
Well, it also helps that he's only having sex with the top half of her. Her legs are still walking around the room getting room service. I don't know what.
Yeah.
It's very disconcerting. They can always her legs can come over and her toes can detangle anything they need.
Oh. Wow, yeah. That's weird.
So is that Maeve/Naya's form of contraception? She just kind of detaches the bottom half of her body and says, okay, go over there. We're not going to need you for now.
Yeah, there's a cartoon. What's the cartoon where the guy's head is and his body are detached, but his head can still like control his body? He's like, come over here. And like comes over and grabs him and puts him back on. That's from a movie. Am I thinking of Ice Pirates?
Yes.
What am I thinking of?
Ice Pirates. I was going to say, you're thinking of Ice Pirates, man.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Another movie that Julia's going to be like, what the hell are you talking
about?
Yeah,
I have no idea
we need to do that one as one of our middle minutes in between our
hiatus. Oh, guys. Ice Pirates.
Ice Pirates.
Didn't that That's happen an action in, like, movie. Hocus Pocus, where Billy, the zombie, he got his head knocked off and his body was, like, stumbling around trying to catch it or something like that?
It might have.
It's been a while since I've seen Hocus Pocus.
The actions. So it must be in a movie I've seen, and I've never seen... Ice Pirates?
Ice Pirates, yes.
Never seen it. Never heard of it.
Yep. With who was the main actor who died? Robert Towne.
Yeah, no.
The writer of this movie. It's, Robert Ulrich.
Robert Ulrich, yeah.
Famous from Vegas.
And Spencer for Hire.
Spencer, really handsome dude. Mm-hmm. It's about a world where in the future where there's ice is a commodity and water is a commodity.
Yes, you guys should watch
like
it.
Your guys' yeah. movies.
It sounds... right up our alley.
It is. It is.
A little spacey, but...
You can see, what's his face? The guy that throws the confetti... Not confetti. The guy who writes the...
Bruce Valanche.
Awards. Bruce Valanche is in it as a robot.
Angelica Houston is in it.
Angelica Houston is in it.
Ron Perlman.
Jake Mantuzak, the guy who, like, did John the body... John Matuzak, yeah. You know, Body by Jake?
No. It's did, John Matuzak. Sloth is in it.
Oh, Sloth.
Sloth, yes. Sloth.
So, good luck finding it. I've tried.
There's a DVD. There's a Blu-ray of it now.
What?
Yeah. There's a Blu-ray of it.
All right. You can probably get it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's probably... I think it's on iTunes also.
Maybe I'll go buy it from Pirate Bay. That's a pay site, right?
It can be.
Okay. Well, I'm not... That's ridiculous. Come on. Yeah. Ice Pirates, everybody. Go watch
it. Go watch Ice Pirates.
Hashtag Ice Pirates.
Yep.
Well... The king of the ice pirates, Tom Cruise, has begun his love making, and it ends in a fade out away from the awkward love making. Thank God, and we've come to the Valencia Festival.
Yeah, the fire represents Welcome. Their love making, according to
oh,
John.
Oh yes,
Lewis.
It's hot.
Yep,
fiery passion,
and the papier mache effigies don't mean anything. I was having to look up this this festival. There's a lot more notes actually in the script about it than there is on the internet. Basically, what it is it's there's all these paper effigies that are serious and comic, kind of like the Dia de los Muertos. You know, it's that kind of vibe where the fire is to your gods and saints and things like that, and it's just a festival. They're still in Seville. We get a pan out from the fire, and we see a crowd of people and a crucifix. So we haven't seen Tom Cruise, but this is where they are. So I assume this is happening while they're having sex. Maybe.
It's a good excuse for Robert Towne to go to Spain, apparently.
Did they shoot this in Spain?
Yeah, this was shot
this in part, Spain. Or is this in Australia as Spain?
No, I think this was actually shot in Spain. I don't know.
I was just trying to get some Australian here for these guys. let's just say it's in Australia.
Now, did a little bit of digging, and I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is part of the Semana Santa celebration that Seville does every year during Holy Week.
It may be in reality.
Yeah.
In the script, it's called the Valencia Festival. Maybe they couldn't call it... I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to, like, you know, get angry letters. Tell me about what you read.
So Holy Week is a big Catholic thing, and apparently Seville holds one of the more elaborate processions. I don't know if it's specifically supposed to be this one, because their parades are all about giant floats carried on people's shoulders depicting stations of the Passion story, mm-hmm. Which this one, where it specifically mentions the burning... Let me see.
And just Tom for your
Cruise
knowledge,
is gonna be feeling the burning later.
Jonathan and everybody, these scenes were shot in Australia. Nothing was shot in Seville at all. The car chase was actually shot in California.
See? I told you guys I'd get some Australia minutes.
Yep.
I'm looking it up. The phallus. Falls?
The phallus?
Well, I don't think it's pronounced phallus.
Phala? It's Valencian for sing. It's a traditional celebration held in commemoration of Saint Joseph in the city of Valencia, Spain. The term refers to both the celebration and the monuments burnt during the celebration.
Yes.
A number of towns in the Valencian community have similar celebrations inspired by the original celebration, and it was added to UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity list on the 30th of November back in 2016.
Oh, I just found in the script, it does say the crema portion of the Falas de Valencia later on down the script. So yeah, this is definitely, you're right, this is definitely part of that.
Okay.
But it was shot in Australia, so yay.
All right.
Yep.
Little taste of Spain.
Little taste of Spain. I'm going to talk about a scene that was cut from the movie. Yet again, they're still trying to push this love stuff. He's walking. Tom Cruise walks through this crowd. We'll see it in the next minute, but I wanted to bring it up here because this is actually where the scene was. He walks through the crowd and finds a vendor selling flowers. And the flowers are so fresh that the dew is still on the petals. That's in the script. Okay. And he
well, that's just not realistic.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's insane. Someone has sprayed those flowers. And he goes to buy flowers. And then he thinks about it and says, maybe I shouldn't take flowers while I'm walking in to talk to Swanbeck, which is, we're going to find out, is his new Kittredge in the next minute. And he says, are you going to be here a while? Si, senor. I'll pick him up on my way out, okay? So he was going to get her flowers. But he's on his way to his contact meeting with new Kittredge. And this script is a mess of overflowered descriptions and scenes that are just – it's terrible that this got to the final draft. It's shocking. And this minute ends with just a shot of a group of people instead, which is probably better because this is all terrible. Everything I've read that is not in the movie, there's a reason why it was all cut out. It's all terrible. There's no scenes I'm like, oh man, I wish they kept that in there. So yeah, we're at the point where we're about to meet. We don't know this yet, but he's going to be going to meet his contact here tomorrow to end our Friday. Let's finish this this fire-soaked episode with a little fire of our own from Tech of the Ep. Here we are, Tech of the Ep. Chris, do you have any tech that you think this ep has?
Outside of her ability to remove her hair from her face, not really.
You gotta have something.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the camera crane that they use to shoot that parade scene because it moves up really quick, so it's pretty nice.
You're doing a camera shot.
Yep, doing a camera. I'm doing the crane itself that does the shot.
Hopefully, we'll see more of that in the next minute. I'll kind of explain it a little better. Well, everything seems to be shot from above because, you know, Nia likes being on the bottom, as we've learned.
Ugh. Exactly.
Gross. Rick, what about you?
Because this is my last chance to mention it, I will say that the incredibly lifelike host technology developed by Delos Corporation would be my tech of the ep that brought Maeve / Nia to life. Obviously, it's still in its infancy, being only the year 2000, but you know what? They're going to work on it and perfect it over the years. And I just think they hit the ground running, those guys over at Delos, with their Maeve model here that they've named Nia. And I think she's doing pretty good. Looking forward to seeing her more in this movie.
Yeah, the next model's going to have Wi-Fi in her lower torso. So it's going to be pretty awesome. And pretty nice. What about you, Julia?
My tech of the ep assumes that Nia is actually human.
Oh.
Because this is a little more of a, like, real-world problem. Nia just woke up, and she has not used the bathroom yet, and now they're getting busy. So my tech of the ep is the catheter that she must be wearing.
Wow. You got real there, Julia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real.
Well, you know, if her lower half is walking around out there somewhere, you know.
Yeah, her lower half's already in the bathroom.
It's already in the bathroom.
She's taking care of her fluid disposal. My tech of the ep is the papier-mâché effigy. I always think these festivals look cool, and I've never been to one. And I guess I'm feeling a little FOMO. It's also, again, pushing back to all of the James Bond stuff. It's very James Bond to be at some sort of street festival or carnival. Because I remember when in the original, when I would watch those old, you know, 60s episodes of 60s movies and 50s movies of James Bond, and he would be at carnival, and it wasn't a thing. Like, Americans didn't really like know what carnival was at that time. So I'm sure to them it was like the craziest, most interesting thing they've ever seen. And since I've never been to anything in Seville or any sort of, I'm also not Catholic, so I've never been to any of these festival type things. It's really cool. And I hope I see more of it tomorrow. So that's where we'll end. All right. We're going to come back tomorrow for our final day. This is going to wrap up with a meeting and a new character. So that's good. No more sexy time. No more sexy time, Rick. Sorry.
Are you kidding? Anthony Hopkins is showing up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's all the sexy time.
He's sex all on wheels.
Sexy time.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be tomorrow. So until tomorrow, please join us on our Facebook group, on our Twitter, on our Instagram, on our everything out there, minuteimpossible.com. We've got links to everything. Go check us out. And thanks again to Julia and Rick for being here today, and we will see them tomorrow. Until tomorrow, I am Jonathan.
I am Chris.
I am Rick.
And I'm Julia.
Rick said that like he's the bottom half of a robot. Mm-hmm. I am Rick's torso. Rick is just here podcasting. His torso's off making breakfast for he and Julia.
Awesome.
Wouldn't that be nice? I love Rick's torso. Hashtag love Rick's torso.
This minute will self-destruct.
Just like your torso.
Here is your breakfast, Julia.
Thank you, torso.
See.